Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, broadcasting out of beautiful Monticello, Maine in Arista County. And it's also heard on our YouTube channel, usually within a few days of its airing, and also Podomatic. We have a page on Podomatic, and we encourage you to visit that, Camp Constitution Radio, and IPMNation.org, which is a 24-hour online news service based out of Concord, New Hampshire. And you can hear the show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, folks, this show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a family camp. And this year's camp will be held in the beautiful Berkshires of Western Massachusetts, August 5th to the 11th. And we've got, as every year, we've got some great instructors lined up, including Dr. Duke Pesta, one of the probably, if not the most expert on Common Core. And we have Lord Christopher Monckton, one of the men involved with the Brexit movement, as well as Professor Willie Soon and Mrs. Chris Ann Hall. And we also added just recently Pastor Williams Levy, who is originally from the South Sudan, and he is with a ministry called Operation Nehemiah. And his topic is life under Sharia law. He was tortured by the Muslims in Sudan when he was a young man. He's going to share his experiences. And you can learn about that visiting our website, campconstitution.net. We also host the Sam Blumenfeld Archives. And as I reported recently, last year, 2017, we got over 2 million views. So we want to thank all of you. This show, we should talk about climate change. And because we're sitting in the deep freeze here in New England, it's been hovering around zero and below zero for the last 10 days after we had a snowstorm. But we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a very important issue, which we've discussed a number of times. It's the Article 5 Convention. And with me, I have Publius Hulda from
yes.
Tennessee. I see
Hi.
That. And hello. And Julie Kaler from California.
Right.
Well,
hello.
Julie, hello. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I hear you just perfectly. You're on our show with millions of people all over the world listening to your every word. So, Julie, can you just give yourself, give the listeners a little biographical sketch?
Oh, I am Judy Kaler, and I've been working on this Article 5 legislation for the past 3 years. I am on the board of Eagle Forum of California, and I think that's probably enough for you.
And Publius? Now, Publius is probably one of the most feared women in America. If you are an Article 5 supporter, they must think you're about, and I mentioned this last time on the show a couple of years ago, you must be about 7 foot tall, 300 pounds, and trained in every martial art imaginable, because they're really afraid of you.
Yes, they are. And I'm 5'3", 73 years old, and I wear size zero clothes. But
well,
stilettos.
I actually think I saw you at a podium with stilettos. I said, oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Anyway, could you explain? Now, I just got word very recently that you were disinvited to an event in South Carolina. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. It's the South Carolina Tea Party Coalition Convention. It's scheduled to be held in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the third week in January. I was invited last fall to participate in a debate on the Article 5 Convention issue. So, of course, I eagerly accepted. Well, on New Year's Eve, I was notified that I had been canceled. Reading between the lines from what I heard from the promoter, my understanding is that the big sponsors were declining to sponsor unless I was canceled.
Wow.
Also, Mark Meckler strongly objected to my speaking. Apparently, Meckler refused to debate me, insisting requested that I be removed from the program and that he be allowed to speak without me there. So it seems that the host canceled the entire issue from the agenda, and that's a shame because I would have had the opportunity to speak to South Carolina state legislators on this issue. COS has targeted South Carolina to pass the COS application this year, but they had to shut me up to have a chance of doing that.
Well, I find it interesting because we've had other folks experience this type of problem. Back a couple of years ago, a Convention of States person in New Hampshire accused me and a few others of bribery. I mean, they totally made the story up.
I remember.
And they said we had bribed a very honorable state senator, who, by the way, at that particular time was on the fence on this issue. He hadn't even committed. And they were willing to destroy his career. Here's a man, if you love liberty, even if you are against it, in favor of an Article 5 convention, or mm-hmm. and he was supporting one, he's still somebody you want to see up at the State House in Concord. And they were willing to destroy him because he was actually sitting on the fence on this issue.
Yeah.
And we see this on a regular basis. I think money does talk. And it's been my observation. This is an unscientific analysis I've made, but I am just guessing we're being outspent about $1,000 to $1 on this issue.
Oh, I think it's much more than that because I don't know of any money being spent by people on our side. I know that I'm on Judy Kaler's national email warrior team. We're not heavily funded.
And by the way, I want to just commend both of you. I've never seen such a well-organized oiled machine. I think you get information about the Article 5 resolution being introduced in the State House before some of the sponsors do. So, Julie, tell us about that. Here I am. I'm living in Boston, a few miles away from the State House. And I didn't know about this. So tell us about this network and how on top of things that you are.
We're connected to a lot of people across the country that are opposed to the Article 5 convention, and no, we don't have any money to spend on this. There are a couple of organizations not focusing a lot of money on this, but we talk to people, and we find out, we make phone calls and on the ground in the various states, and connect to people who are actually going to the legislators and testifying, and we keep an eye on a legislative service that pops up with any Article 5 convention bill that comes up and are able to talk to people in those states. So we can find out a lot of information that way. And I also wanted to say that this South Carolina Tea Party coalition that has the convention, they're huge. It's not just like getting canceled from a little event. They have absolutely big name speakers. I don't know if you could name a few. I don't have them.
Trump has spoken there twice.
Really?
Yeah. It's a huge event.
And what is the problem, I believe, is that their sponsors, the big ones, pay $50,000 for a sponsorship, and they get 3 nights at this resort. They get a lot with it. I don't know how many sponsors they have, but the pro side of the Article 5 convention, the people who want to rewrite our Constitution, people like the Koch brothers, there are a lot of undisclosed sources. On the left, there is George Soros. They are the ones that are putting in millions of dollars to the campaign. And there are, lesser sponsorships like $25,000. But you can imagine if the sponsors are being leaned on by Mark Meckler, who's being funded by the big ones. I don't know if they're bluffing or not, but that is scary to who's been putting on this event and putting so much work into it for the past 8 months to put this on, to have these huge name speakers, not wanting them to show up to an empty crowd who's probably, giving out tickets for this event from all the tickets they're getting for their $50,000 sponsorships. So this was huge.
Well, I still think, though, it's been my observation that the more time it takes for them to get their I think, to get the resolutions through. Time is on our side. We don't have the money, but I see more and more people taking an interest in this. I recently visited the State House in Michigan, and thanks to you, that nice little two-page flyer that we distributed. And people, we visited legislators and their staff, and they knew about this issue. You know, over the years, you visit a legislator and you say, what's the state rep's position on X, Y, and Z? They don't know. I don't care what state you go to. They all either just don't know or they don't want to tell you anything. But everyone we visited, that I personally visited, they knew about it and they were in favor of it. And, you know, that's just a little bit of shoe leather, a little bit of organization, and a two-pager that you put together. I mean, you can give them a book. There was a book published by the former state senator from Arizona.
Yeah.
He's now a congressman, Andy. His last
Biggs.
Name, Andy.
Biggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy Biggs. Right, Andy Biggs. I think it's called The Con of the Con. There's just so much information out there. We've done a lot on Camp Constitution's YouTube channel. I dedicated two shows about 2 years ago on the men behind the Article 5 movement, talking about the event in 2011 at Harvard University, looking at Mark Meckler is just plain dirty. And
yes.
I don't know how too many conservative-minded people, once they take a look at this guy, I mean, he's there. He's actually in California. He's calling people racists. In New Hampshire, they're accusing us of bribery. And then he's going around recently telling people that basically, and I think it was an article he wrote, that basically if you don't support an Article 5 convention, you're just like, you're in bed with George Soros. And then you
yes.
see a picture of him with next to Joanne, basically with his arms around Joanne Blades of MoveOn.com, a Soros-supported organization. And a lot of people, you know, Van Jones, for example, I think most people know this guy is to the left of Lenin, and he is involved with a group called Living Room Conversations. They're colleagues together. I mean, I don't see your name, Publius, in any of left-wing organizations, and I don't see your name affiliated with any of these far-left people. But Meckler somehow, and I think more and more people are waking up to it. You know, in New Hampshire, when we came up with these new applications or resolutions for applications, I noticed fewer and fewer sponsors. And I think that's a good sign. Usually there's a half a dozen. Last year, they defeated in committee the federal and state federal and veterans committees. They defeated the resolutions by the same margin that they passed them the previous cycle. And again, so that to me was a very good sign. No, that doesn't mean we need to let our guard down.
Right.
And one of the Convention of States legislators, who's actually a friend of mine, he's no longer in office. He was going to come to camp unrelated. He was going to he's an actor. He's going to recreate enact Thomas Jefferson's role. And he told me that he was, and he didn't show up. He said he's embarrassed, but he said he was encouraged or discouraged from attending our camp because the Convention of States people see our camp as an obstacle to their goals. And in Maine, in New Hampshire, it was January, we brought in Robert Brown, who's been a guest, and I think both of you know Robert Brown's incredible work. And, you know, we just, we had a friend of mine sponsor, you know, paid for the airfare and, one guy covering most of the expense, and we stayed in friends' homes and, you know, low budget, and we spoke to a number of legislators. We had a couple of luncheons that we hosted. We had two news conferences, press conferences. We had two in-studio radio shows. And in Maine, it's interesting how the media, one of the arguments in favor of one is that, well, the media is going to cover this any convention. Well, they don't really like to come to press conferences, even when you flood media press rooms or 2 or 3 days before. But we had about 14 or 15 Convention of States people at our press conference, and it basically was a wonderful Q&A session with Robert Brown, and he handled it masterfully. And, you know, and most of these Convention of States people, the rank and file, are, you know, pretty decent people. And I, like I said, when I testify, I can understand why they're upset about things and why they want to see something happen. But of course, this isn't the way to go, and that's not the organization to tie yourself to.
Well, they don't have any arguments. But I would like to say that it is, you know, you said we can't let our guard down, but I don't see us as winning. I see it as they have a continued, they're on a continuum here where they get a success and then they don't lose it, and then they can get another success. They don't have to start over every year. And what they have right now is 28 states on the balanced budget amendment, the goal being 34. Not that the Constitution says you need to have it on the same subject, and they could call an Article 5 convention tomorrow, but Congress is going to look to what the public is, you know, when the public is ready for this convention, that's when they're going to call it. And they're going to start getting sued if they don't call it when they get to, when someone gets to 34. And Meckler's group only has 12. They're very close to Iowa. They're very close to Nebraska. And they are doing more and more stuff that involves the balanced budget amendment. So they'll have an excuse to jump in there should a convention be called, because why wait to get another, 22 states when they could be six states away right now? So we just have to be very, very careful. And also I want and work hard and write letters and keep making these legislators aware of what's going on, because a lot of them are clueless out there. And the George Soros thing is all public relations. They will say anything. Most of what they say is lies. And you could see them going after JBS with George Soros. Oh, I think it was a couple of years ago. They said that JBS, John Birch Society, was funded by George Soros, and the JBS pushed back and they kind of let that go. And they try things like test balloons out there. And around the beginning of the year, or in March, I think, a group of liberals came out against an Article 5 convention. And there are liberals and conservatives on both sides of this issue.
That's true. It's a lie
that all the left is opposed to them. There are people that are on our side from the left. They are the grassroots. They're not the globalists. The globalists are wanting a convention to get a new constitution. So Meckler and their PR, Koch brothers, whoever it is that's the brains behind all of this, jumped on that letter, and they said all of the leftists oppose us. They got tired of answering the runaway convention argument. The legislators were really afraid that conventions couldn't be limited, and they were right. So instead of answering that now, what they do is they say, well, look who's opposed to us. And they started more and more. Jim DeMint, I think it was, who said George Soros signed that letter against us. Well, he didn't. Mm-hmm. Wolfcott wasn't on the letter. The Young Turks weren't on the letter. The people who are trying to overturn Citizens United aren't on the letter. They're the ones that are the globalists that are trying to get a convention for their purposes, which will all be the same convention. So that's what they're doing now. And Mark Levin on his radio show, he heard Hillary Clinton say she was against a constitutional amendment, a constitutional convention, and he dissected her speech and said that she was opposed to them. And they say that they're not calling for a constitutional convention.
That's
they want
right.
a convention of states. So
that's right. That shows you how dishonest they are.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Publius, as an attorney, now there are 28 extant applications, some of them going back for this one purpose. We know there's probably a couple of hundred applications over the years, maybe like more than that. And a lot of states have rescinded all or some.
Right.
And I think we did get a few rescinded for the balanced budget amendment. But
yes.
Two things here. I'm hoping that that Congress, they may not acknowledge any call over a certain amount. I'm sorry, any application over a certain amount of years. And if they're not worded, identically worded, they may not acknowledge it.
That is entirely up to Congress to decide.
Right.
Congress has complete authority to count the applications any way they want. They have total authority. Remember,
so we don't want to hang our hat on that. We still should act like we are just six states away from an Article 5.
Oh, I'm not taking comfort in that. Congress can count them any way they want. We don't know. It's the Convention of States people who've been telling us that Congress puts them into little piles according to subject, and you need to get The Constitution, Article 5, doesn't say that. The COS people just made that up.
It's interesting, too, when they testify in front of legislators.
They lie.
Most of the time. Well, they'll say, for example, that they'll acknowledge that maybe bad amendments will come out of the convention, but it will take 38 legislators, both House and Senate, with the exception of Nebraska, to come out of it. So the states are a check on it. They never, and I've never heard them say that Congress can simply change the mode of ratification it's right in Article 5, to ratifying conventions like they did when the 18th Amendment was repealed.
Well, the delegates to the convention have the power to write a completely new constitution, and a new constitution will have its own new mode of ratification, and it can be whatever the delegates want. Now, even though Article 5 of our Constitution says that upon the application of 2/3 of the states, Congress shall call a convention for proposing amendments, the delegates are not limited to proposing amendments, because the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence says that a people have the self-evident right to throw off their government and set up a new one. We have invoked that principle twice in our history. In 1776, we invoked it to throw off the British monarchy. In 1787, we invoked that same principle again to throw off the Articles of Confederation and replace it with a new constitution, which created a new government with a different mode of ratification. The Articles of Confederation provided that amendments to the Articles had to be ratified by the Continental Congress and all of the then 13 states. But the new constitution, drafted at the Convention of 1787, provided that it would be ratified when only 9 states approved it. In Federalist Paper number 40, at the 15th paragraph, James Madison specifically invoked the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence as justification for what they did at the Convention of 1787. I got a little ahead of myself. I should have said that in February of 1787, the Continental Congress called a convention for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation, our first constitution.
But and revising doesn't mean replacing. It just means changing.
Proposing amendments.
Amendments.
Yes. Yeah, and the proposed amendments had to be approved by the Continental Congress and all of the states before they became effective. Well, I've read Madison's Journal of the Federal Convention of 1787. On May the 29th, they convened, elected the officers, made the rules for the convention, said, we're going to make this closed to the public. The next day, on May the 30th, they got down to work of writing a completely new constitution. All of the delegates, except for a handful, went to that convention with the idea that they were going to write a completely new constitution which created a new government. And that's what they did.
Well, you know what's fascinating?
And there's no way to stop it. If there's a convention today, the delegates can do the same thing. Write a new constitution with a new mode of ratification. The proposed constitution for the new states of America is ratified by a national referendum.
And the state legislators will have absolutely no say. And I think they use this marketing term, convention of states, it actually isn't the state legislators. Their only duty is to actually apply for one.
Their only
and
power
then,
is to apply for it.
And then possibly ratify any proposed amendments, but possibly because they may never see them. We
right.
have about 4 minutes left. Can we cover a little bit of these wayward delegation bills that are popping up around the country to sort of mollify Article 5 opponents?
Well, you know, our side has been warning the public that the delegates have the right to throw off our present constitution and write a new one. So the COS people are saying, oh, well, we can fix that with faithful delegate laws. We'll make it a felony to violate state instructions. Well, guess what? James Madison already addressed that. You can't prosecute people for a felony doing what the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence says is a self-evident right to throw off one constitution and set up another one. And I am a former criminal defense lawyer, and I know you can't get a conviction for violating state instructions for doing something that the Declaration of Independence says you have a self-evident right to do.
Well, let me take another angle. Let's say I live in Massachusetts. Massachusetts passes a waiver delegation law. Mm-hmm. Well, the convention's not held in Massachusetts. It's held in, let's say, Pennsylvania or Washington, D.C.
Right. We don't
know. So there's no jurisdiction. Are they going to send state policemen down to arrest me while I'm sitting there?
You are correct. There is no jurisdiction. But furthermore, the delegates to an Article 5 convention today can do what they did at the Federal Convention of 1787, close the doors and make it secret. And people say, well, you can't have secret meetings today. Oh, yes, you can. The American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, which is funding this and which is drafting the applications for an Article 5 convention, they drafted model delegate rules. They conduct secret meetings with state legislators, with armed guards to keep the credentialed members of the press out of the room.
And that
happened recently in Georgia. Yeah, recently in Georgia. I've got the video. It's horrifying.
I tell you, something else happened in Boston back in 2000, 2001. Some of us were trying to get Costco, the Chinese ocean shipping company, out, or we want to get them out of Boston before they moved in, try to stop it. And there was a secret meeting held by Republican and Democrat operatives and a few elected officials. I wasn't invited to that. So, they, of course, these meetings happen all the time.
I was going to say that these delegate bills are ploys to make everyone have this false sense of security. In Nebraska, they've worked for 3 years trying to get this Convention of States legislation passed and failed. Now it's up again. But in December, right around Christmas, it wasn't too busy for them to get together and study delegate legislation so that they could talk about how they were going to preclude a runaway convention with delegates, you know, by controlling their delegates. Some of the states set up these commissions to watch their delegates. Mark Meckler said at a Nebraska hearing a few years ago that that the legislators would be texting the delegates while they were in the convention in order to control them. It's laughable to come up with.
Well, we have about 30 seconds left. How can people get a hold of you, Publius, if they want to read your incredible writings? Or
PubliusHulda.com.
And Julie, how about any contact information for you? Any website you want to offer?
I'll offer the website where people can learn about it. It's caavc.net, and it stands for Citizens Against an Article 5 Convention. caavc.net.
Okay, and of course campconstitution.net as well to get information. Well, ladies, thank you so much. We'll be staying in touch. And this every time I see snow on the ground, that's when it's time to testify at hearings in New England on this issue. And with God's help, we're gonna keep the Constitution alive and well. Folks, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio on WBCQ The Planet. And until next week, may God bless you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks, Al.